we are going to, I want you to personalize it. I want you to prophesy to yourself if you believe it. That will, that rivers will flow in my wilderness.
Hallelujah.
So let's take it again. Let's prophesy.
Amen.
Rivers shall flow in my wilderness. The flow. Thank you for this day. We thank you for our wilderness, for the dry places, for the bondages. We thank you for the prison house. We thank you for the sickness. Lord, we thank you for this howling wilderness. Because we know you have appointed a time. Even in this last time, you said, rivers will flow in our wilderness. Lord, we receive from you grace, an apostleship unto grace and unto the salvation of our souls. We pray, O God, that you might anoint our eyes with eyesight, anoint our ears. Lord, you might cause the heavens to be opened, and Lord, cause it to rain. Lord, bring a jerking of the eyes. Bring a change in our vision, in that which we see. Lord, we receive the change. And Lord, we receive the ability to walk in this world, to walk in the light of that which you give to us. So we receive bread for the eater, even your sweet bread, even your fresh bread, the bread of your presence. I will pray you might give seed, a bountiful seed, even this choice and special seed unto the sower. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I wanted to turn to Isaiah 52. This morning, we have been prophesying. And we thank God for the prophetic word. God has prepared for us. Isaiah prophesies and he says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength." O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments. O Jerusalem, the holy city.
O Jerusalem, listen unto you.
For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. He says, shake thyself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem.
O Jerusalem,
loose thyself from the band of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them with our cause.
Amen.
Today, I just want to go into looking at something that is, I think it's an urgent matter in the church. Okay. I know many of us should be familiar with the teaching on the tabernacle. On the teaching on the tabernacle, and there is a particular subject that is of great importance. And that is what the Bible calls the golden altar. There were three altars in the tabernacle. In each of the three courts, you have an altar. So this is the altar of brass. This is the incense altar that's made of gold. And then you have the mercy seat. So this is the first, second, and the third one. For many of us, we are a bit familiar with this. We know there are other things that you have there. You have the liver. And then you have the table of shewbread. And then the gold, and then the lampstand. Okay, the picture is there. But I for some time I've had a burden to talk about the altar of incense. And I believe we as a people should now be walking in this experience. The journey has been long for many of us. Some of you were born in Zion. So you may not fully appreciate what we are saying for some of us who may have started this journey a long time. And I know and I can feel that many of us are weary. Because even myself, I feel the weariness. And in the course of trying to walk in this world, the devil has got into this world. And we have formed a denomination called the End Time Denomination. I was lying down in my bed one day, sometime this year, early part of this year, and God said, "You have formed a denomination." I asked the Lord, I said, "Am I part of this?" He said, "Yes, you are part of the denomination." I didn't find it funny. But that's not my business this morning. And it's understandable. Because the journey has been long and we are tired. Our eyes are dim. Our knees, our hands, we're just weary. But if you see what the Spirit of God is doing and saying, that rivers will flow again in the wilderness. Amen. As we were coming to the meeting, that song, I began to hear that song. So I said to his sister, "Please sing that song for us." Amen. It's a song for me and not really for you. So this meeting is for me, not for you. Because I want to share with you my frustration. But in my frustration, God came to me and he has begun to visit. Amen. So I want to share with you some of the things that God has been bringing. Amen. I was in London, I think it was 2011. And I got a word. I was lying down on my bed and I got a word. And the word says that it is going to rain.
Amen.
That word was the word about Elijah. In the time of Elijah, there was a drought. There was dryness. And there was Baal worship. Israel had gone away from God. And the prophetic word had dried up. And it's much like today, is it not? And in the midst of it, God says, "I see on the horizon the sound of the abundance of rain." And I want to prophesy to you and to myself is that I hear the sound of the abundance of rain.
Amen.
Well, you can choose not to believe it, but you will still see it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is going to be rain. And we are preparing for rain. And this rain is the rain for harvest. It is the rain to finish the work. Amen.
Amen.
And what I want to do is to give you a scriptural foundation. Because anything you do without scriptural foundation is a lost time. So if you are expecting the rain, if you're expecting the harvest, you must prepare. Amen.
Amen.
Every farmer that expects the harvest must sow, must prepare his soil, must prepare his land. So what are we talking about? What is the issue? Amen. What is the issue? You know, what is involved is so big. It's so wide. But I believe that God will help us to lay this foundation. Isaiah 52 says, awake.
Awake.
When you tell somebody awake, it means he's sleeping, is it not?
He
says, awake. Awake. Means that there is sleeping. And God is asking us to wake up. Amen. So, when we look at the tabernacle, we see a pattern. And this pattern is God's word to us. This pattern speaks of an experience. An experience for the church. I want you to turn with me to Romans. Remember, I'm still talking about the golden altar. My subject is the golden altar of incense. This is where you and I should be. Our place is not in the outer court. Our place is that we should be in the holy place. We should be partaking of the table of shewbread and walking in the light of the lampstand, so that we can come to this offering. The golden altar of incense is an offering. It speaks of an experience. It is speaking of offering. The person who makes an offering is a priest. Amen. The person who makes an offering is a priest. And this is the crucial issue that God is requiring of us. And this is the place where we have failed. And this is the place where we must overcome. Alright, so let's go to Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 15. This is a teaching session. So we're going to be reading a lot of scriptures. So don't allow yourself to sleep. So make sure you are up to it. To save time, I will want the brother to read from me Romans 7, 15 to the end. From 15, read down.
Amen.
Verse 23 says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Amen. Now, this was the experience of Paul. Amen. This is the experience of Paul. And I know this is the experience of only me in this room. Okay, if you have this experience, you can raise your hand with me. Why are you always in high with me? I wanted you to pray for me so that God will help me. So, did you understand the English or the Bible that you read? The things I want to do, I do not have the strength to do them, and I cannot do them. The things I don't want to do, that I hate to do, those are the things that I do. Amen. Hallelujah. So the man says, I now see where my problem is. That there is a law, there is another authority, there is another rule within my members.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So there is a law that is working within me. And brethren, that is the battle we must win. And this is why God called us out. And the devil does not want us to address it. The devil can encourage us, he can have crusade,
Camp
meeting,
Anything you want, just go and do it. But do not talk about this. Amen. But thank God we are talking about it today. Because we have resolved that we will awake from the dust. He says, O Jerusalem, shake yourself from the dust.
Amen.
That scripture says you that we sold ourselves to the devil. Don't you understand? He said, my people went to Egypt on their own. So what we are talking about is something that you have to do, something that I have to do. When you get born again, it's free of charge.
Amen.
Born again, free of charge. But every other thing you pay for. It says the bride has made herself ready. If you do not make yourself ready, then it means you believe ultimate reconciliation. That's the rapture. If I want to go to Aba, I start going to Okanafo. Will I reach there? Now, what is the journey? What is our destination? Our destination is here. And so there is only one way to move. There is one way to move. Amen. But this journey has an obstacle. Who is the obstacle? There are cherubims here. Amen. And they have a sword. There is no grammar in it. There is no fasting in it. You must pass through the cherubims. And you must come under the sword. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the end time church, with me inclusive, we came here many years ago and we turned and we started going back. Is that true? Okay, now if you say it's true, raise your hand with me, because I've told you it's true. It's for me, true for me, not for you, true for me. Amen. I went back. Hallelujah. God has been knocking us on the head. He has been knocking me on the head. Say, my friend, go back. Go back from where you started. We started a journey. God said, go back there. Amen. So pray for me. I want to go back. In fact, I'm trying to go back now. Amen. And I'm encouraging many people to join me. Let's go back, brethren. Let's go back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are going back to business. Let's always say we are going back to Zion. Amen.
Amen.
The church has an appointment with God. You know, the appointment says that Moses heard a voice speaking to him from between the wings of the cherubim, from off the mercy seat. I don't know if you understood that. He said he heard a voice speaking to him. And God says, I will meet you where? Between the wings of the cherubim. God will help us. We will talk about the cherubim today or tomorrow. I don't know. But you see, we have an appointment with God. And that appointment means that we have to break through the veil. That's a veil. So our apostolic vision, brethren, is not money. It's not what? Money. Or I call it like me. Money is not money. Our business is not what? Money. That's not our business. What is our business, brethren? We must break through that veil. That's why God called us. If we form a denomination, it means that we have renounced our inheritance. I don't know if you understand. It means that God's investment upon you and me is what? Lost. There have been many churches before you, many apostles before you, many elders before you, so your own will not be new. Don't you understand? Which song do you want that they have not sang? Which preacher do you want to preach that they have not preached and better? Amen. So God said they are yet remained for the people of God. So the question is, who is the man that values his inheritance? Do you value your inheritance in God? So what is this thing that God has given you that is real, that you value and you want to lay down your life for? Do you know that the Bible you hold in your hand was written in blood? Do you know that? The Bible you are holding in your hand, somebody was burnt alive because of writing it. And then me and you were doing sweatless winner. I shall suffer no loss. Is it not so? Amen. So, brethren, this is serious business. It is a matter of life and death. That is the strength of it. Amen. And you know, God has no business with those who do not mean business. So, we see Paul addressing an issue. Paul was addressing the core of the issue. What he calls the law of sin and death. Amen.
Amen.
If you read on to chapter 8, because it's still actually the same thing. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at that verse 24. It's a very sweet scripture. Of 7. Verse 25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, so then with my mind I myself serve the law of God. He said, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin. I don't know if you did you read it? It says, with my mind I serve the law of God.
It begins in the mind. It ends in the mind. Amen.
Amen.
The battle is in the mind. The victory is also in the mind. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we have been playing games.
This is
including me. Now I'm telling you about myself. But the devil has not been playing games. The devil means business. Amen. The Bible says that there is a law in the mind. So even when we talk about this tabernacle, some of us we have a picture in our mind, you know, we are thinking of all kinds of things. This tabernacle is a picture. It was something that Moses saw. It was a reality he saw. And that reality is me and you. Amen. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 2.
Jesus said, we'll be with John.
And I want you to, because I want to give you the scripture. Because you cannot say you did not hear. Because I want you to go home and check it. Examine it. Question it. Reject it if it's not God. Throw it away. But if it's God, then you are in trouble. Jesus said in John chapter 2, he said, destroy this temple. He says, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the Bible said that he was speaking of what? The temple of his body. I want you to understand. God does not dwell in temples made with cement and paint. God has no business with cement and block. His interest is in the temple of man. And man is spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And even in this man that is spirit, soul, and body, the real man is the soul. Amen.
Amen.
He says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He didn't say the leg that sinneth shall die. He didn't say the spirit that sinneth shall die. The soul that sinneth shall die. Amen. I don't know if you understand.
Amen.
And the soul itself has different dimensions. The soul has 4 dimensions. The mind, the will, the emotions, and the desire. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The mind itself also has different dimensions. The intellect, knowledge, wisdom, and conscience. Already, many people are saying, look, this thing is too much for me. The grammar is becoming too much for me. That's why the Bible says, awake. 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 Put on thy strength. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there is a deception amongst us, and the devil wants that deception to continue. Amen. that we shall no longer be deceived. The deception is over. And Paul saw it. Paul understood it. And Paul began to talk about it. So Paul was talking about the law of the mind. Everything in this city called Uyo was produced by the mind. Is that true? You are sleeping. Don't sleep, oh. Because they have given me microphone. Very soon I will lock the door. So whether you sleep is actually of no use. So better wake up. If you wake up, we'll finish, then we'll go. If you don't finish, it's me and you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
That's good. Wake up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I've not started the journey. I'm just doing an introduction. I've not even started. Uh-huh. We're just introducing to get ourselves ready. Then we'll start. Are you already tired? Since you have run with the footman, you will need you. What are you going to do with the horses? Amen. Everything in this city of Uyo was created by the mind. Amen. Now the devil has told us, don't talk about it. It doesn't belong to you. Amen. It is amok, Rosicrucian, all those words. It's not true. God showed it to Solomon first before they found it. Don't you understand? God began to open the revelation of the mind to Solomon. God began to open the revelation of the soul to Solomon long before the armor people came on the stage. I say, with all you're getting, what should you get? You get understanding and wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
That because it says there is wisdom that will deliver you from the strange woman. He says he looked and he saw a young man void of understanding, simple. Let me tell you about that. That young man is the soul. He hasn't come to a place of maturity. Jesus is going to marry a matured soul.
Jesus,
I want you to understand that. He said the wise virgin had oil, is it not so?
Yes.
Excuse me. How can you have oil or be a virgin without being defiled? A virgin is someone who has not been defiled, is it not so?
Yes.
So, who is the virgin of Christ?
It
is your soul. Specifically, your mind. Much specifically, your conscience. Much more specifically, what you call the loins of the mind. That is the height of Zion. He said, therefore we shall come and do what? And sing. Where? In the height of Zion. There are mountains in Zion. There are degrees in Zion. So no, all of us must stay at the low degree. You will stay there, others will pass and go to the height of Zion. Do you want to go to the heights of Zion? Because the Bible says that David set up his kingdom where? At the height of Zion. Amen. And the Bible says that at the end of time, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. So if you love, if I love the valley, my mother was saying, "Tereke, that is your house." What does Tereke mean? This is finished. Is it not? Okay, now. Tereke, everything finished. I am valley. The game is playing at the height of Zion. And guess where the devil is playing his game? He said, "I will ascend up to heaven. I shall go up to the heights of the clouds. And I will overshadow Zion." Is it not? "And I will be like the Most High." So we are busy on the floor. You didn't greet me yesterday in fellowship. I don't know what I did to you. I was in the hospital last week. You didn't go to visit me. You cooked 2 soup. You didn't give me one. I think you're right. You went and bought land. You didn't call me to buy with you. Huh? You went and bought that cloth. You didn't even share to me and give me. Me, your brother. That's where the devil wants us to stay. That's what I call trespass offering. Trespass offering deals with the relationship between you and your brother. And it is a very minor offering. Amen. The offering that is offering is the peace offering. Hallelujah. And the peace offering is when you bring the fat. When you bring your energy. Eh? When you bring your buying and your selling, is it not? The devil has peace offering. It's in your Bible, Romans, Proverbs 7. The woman says, "Come, I have peace offering to give." What is my peace offering? I have decorated my bed. I have settled it with all the best that Egypt has to give. Facebook and Super Sports and Twitter. We have arranged the bed. Come, let us take our love till morning. That is a peace offering. It is an offering. You see, the church does not understand. The Bible says, "My people do not understand." But the devil knows. The real offering is the offering of the mind. You are sitting there in this room and you are cooking soup at home. Do you understand? You are sitting down here, you have gone to a bar and come back and arranged everything. You are sitting in this room. Who is the man who has gone to Abba? He is called Mr. Soul. And that is me. Amen. God told my people, he said, "Look, you offer to me that which is sick and lame." Me and you, we bring the carcass to God. So you are fellowship, I'm there. Immediately I sit down, I travel to Super Sports. Immediately I sit down, I am on my Facebook page. Immediately I sit down, I am playing ball with Arsenal. In fact, I'm even kicking with my leg. Why are you touching? So you should tell me which is the real offering that God is interested in.
So Paul said, let's forget all this is legend. I find another law in my member. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want us to talk about that law. But before I go on, I want to show you one more scripture. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Verse 14. Romans 2:14 says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are what? A law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written where? In their hearts, and their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. He says, look at verse 12. Say, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but doers of the law shall be justified. The Gentiles, God judged them by a law. Where was that law written? The law was written in their conscience. Amen.
Amen.
That is the higher law. Amen. That is the higher law. Now, let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8.
Hebrews will take that.
Verse 8 says, I'm going to go a little bit faster. He says, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Read. So not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord. Then please, I want you to note verse 10. Hebrews 8:10 is very important. He said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So what is he saying here?
God was making a declaration. God says, I'm interested in the mind. We have been representing God falsely. The people of the world know more about God than us. He says, this new covenant that I will make, I will put my law. Where?
In the mind.
The New Testament is about the mind. Amen. The new covenant, this one that you say you are following and I'm following, is about the mind. We have been walking in the old covenant. Well, I don't know about you, but me, I have been walking in the old. Because I'm not interested in what's happening in my mind, talk of my body. Because in the old covenant, it was all about church. As long as you come to Jerusalem, you have fulfilled the law. Because there are three times in the year, everyone must come to Jerusalem. So if you have, you make mistake, finally your leg enter this building, you have come to Jerusalem. Then a grown up man will come to church and start sleeping. But he's in Jerusalem now. He has fulfilled the law. He's in Jerusalem. The children are sleeping. Of course, they have come to Jerusalem. Baby, go and sleep. Go and play. Eat akara. The same baby in front of CNN is alive. If you give the baby this phone, he will finish it before you. But when baby comes to church, hey, go and play, go and play around. We must repent. We must change. Amen. Because, brethren, we are going to extinction. Can't you see it? We are becoming history. Isn't it also, brother? Eh? We are becoming history. We are becoming part of the history. That we are end time. Hey, God is end time. End time is a denomination. Don't you understand? There's a reality God is looking for. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So, brethren, there is something God is saying. He is speaking about the true church. He is speaking about the true priesthood. He is speaking about the true offerings. Now, if Jesus did not enter the holy place, sister, show it there. Jesus, he dare not enter the holy place. He only walked around the porch of Solomon. That's why he said. Read this. Yeah, read your Bible. That's all the things he was doing. He was doing it in the outer courts. Why? Because his father was not from the tribe of what? Levi.
Okay.
His father was not from the tribe of Levi. People say of such nothing was spoken concerning the priesthood. Don't you understand? So even Jesus, when he entered this tabernacle, he could only function and walk around where? The outer court. He couldn't enter.
Jesus,
hallelujah. Don't you understand? If me and you follow, you see this thing, we are not going anywhere.
We are, me and you, we are not going, we will at best form a denomination which are formed already. Because you wear your best shirt and come here on Sunday. The Lord is good, the Lord is good, the Lord, the Lord is good. Where is your mind? Where is your emotion? Where you do, the Lord is good. Hallelujah. See, there are four elements of the apostolic vision. One, there must be a covenant. Two, there must be a priesthood. Three, there must be a temple in which the covenant and the priesthood will function. Number four, there must be offerings that are given. In the Old Testament, it was very clear. There was an old covenant. The old covenant did not address the issue. Because the Bible says that the high priest, every day, when he brings the offering, has what? A conscience of what? Sin. The old covenant could not address the conscience. It could not address the mind. So God knew. He knew that it was defective even from the beginning. Don't you understand? If me and you follow you, we will go around in circles and that. He says to be carnally minded is what? Hallelujah. The mind is everything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The temple was there physical in Jerusalem, and that temple is already leveled to the ground. And there will never be anybody touch anything there. I have gone there. Anybody that leaves one block, there will be a third world war immediately. That was that. Ce n'est pas possible. It's not possible. Let me speak French. Ce n'est pas possible. It's not possible. How do you say it? How do you say it in the Bible or whatever? It cannot happen. Whatever it is, it's not possible. God has settled that matter. Ce n'est pas possible. Nobody is building any temple anywhere. Finished. Gone. Because God knows, He knows us. Because if He doesn't, by now there will be a heavy temple in the place. God has finished with that temple. He has finished with that order. And right from John chapter 2, Jesus did not waste time. They asked Him, He said, let me tell you, let me not hide my mouth. There will not be any temple raised here. I am the new temple. If you are the temple, then who is the priest in your temple? You are the temple, is it also? Who is the priest inside that temple? Brother, leave Jesus alone. Leave Jesus alone. There is no religion in this thing. Jesus has finished. He said He has what? He said He has finished the course. And set for us an example. Leave Jesus, so He has finished. It is me and you here now. Who is the priest in this new temple? I touched it last time. I've gone back again. We are seeing the introduction though. I want to be started. Who is the new priest? If I am the temple, is it not so? If you push me, I don't want to waste time telling you, give you scripture reference. It's there everywhere. Jesus talked about it.
Paul said, no, you know you are the temple. Is it not so? John talked about it. I see the new temple coming down. Is it not so? Peter talked about it, that you are being made lively stones to offer us spiritual. So everybody that was anybody said it, that man is the new temple.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Then why are you kicking against the prick? Why are we rebelling against God's order? God says you are the temple. He said, no. It's the 80 quarter, but I think that's the address of this place. This is the new temple. Amen. Hallelujah. So if the temple has changed, now we are the temple, the priest has changed, it is you that is the priest. The real man is the soul. Hallelujah. The real man is the soul. Amen. And God says you must talk about the soul. Because we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. We are of them that do what? We press on. Are we pressing on, brethren? Are we pressing on? To the what? Saving of the soul. Brethren, that is the cross of the matter. Now, I'm telling you, the devil will fight you. When you touch it, trouble starts. Because you want to take God, the devil's food. Don't you understand? He says, look, this woman is going to be what? Your food. Dust. He said, dust is going to be your food. The day God says you will not eat me, then it's over for the devil. Don't you understand? The devil is counting on my foolishness. The devil is counting on my vanity. This is the problem. The liver was the place where the vanity of the women were addressed. Do you know what is vanity? Huh? He says, give me your vanities. Give me your mirrors, all the things that you spend time on that do not give it to me. I will make a liver. And these are the things that are making it impossible for me and you to cross over. There are many things that we value which have no value. There are many things we value we do not have value. The soul is a creation of God that has two natures. It is able to manifest itself on the earth, and it's also able to manifest itself in the realms of heaven. That is the soul. But it so happens that the soul of man is in love with the earth, with carnality. And that includes me. It starts from me. I love life. Okay, you hate life, brother. John 3 says, for men loved darkness. Rather than light. Amen.
Amen.
And brethren, that's why God has to do something. Because see, and Brother Bob keeps shouting it everywhere, he's shouting it that tribulation is coming. The use of the tribulation, the purpose of tribulation is what? to shake us up so that we can drop the vanities and we can enter into the heavenlies. You see, on the day, on the second day of creation, something happened. It was the place of consecration, second day of creation. He said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters to separate the waters that are above from the waters that are beneath. Don't you understand? That's my problem. I have not settled with God. That I want to be among these waters that are above. We want to be above, yet we want to be on the earth. So God is confused. He said, my friend, choose where you want to be. Either you are hot or you are what? Either you are heavenly or we are what? So, oh Lord, please just wait now. Wait. You know, when you want to flog your child, you say, Daddy, wait now. He's holding you. He said, look, my friend, sit down. He said, Daddy, I beg you, hold on. God wants to bring you. So I say, oh Lord, please have mercy on us. But the thing is that we have not decided which way we are going to go. Amen. And that is the predicament of the church. But brethren, we do not have much time to linger around. Say, how long would you hold between two opinions? You see, the consecration is the consecration of the soul. See, this altar of brass speaks of the soul. There are four corners, you know so? Those four corners speak of the four dimensions of the soul. The will, the emotion, the desire, and the mind. This mind has been in Egypt. And the mind has been in bondage in Egypt. Amen. And when we come into the tabernacle, God says, I'm going to sit down with the mind. I will put my law where? In the mind. Brethren, that is the beginning of our journey. Can somebody tell me what happened on that day in Egypt, on that midnight? Do you know what happened? He told them, you must guard your loins. You must hold your staff. You must shut their feet. To do what?
Get ready to move.
To move out of Egypt. Amen. The Passover is the journey of the soul. It is the journey of the mind. Out of the bondage of carnality. Into the place of victory. Amen. I don't know if you are you with me. Passover is the journey of the mind. Out of slavery. The Bible said that for 400 years your people will be what? They will be in captivity where? In Egypt. Egypt represents captivity. Amen. Egypt represents captivity. But many of us, we are comfortable in Egypt. Okay, not many of us. I am comfortable in Egypt. Amen. But God says, your loins gathered. You must take your journey out of Egypt. So God says, the New Testament, I will begin to deal with the mind. This is my journey to deliver the mind out of the captivity of Egypt. So it says, be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of the mind. If we are not being transformed, then our mind is not being renewed. I am what I am today because my mind has not been changed. The scripture says, my soul is what? Escaped as a bear. You know the grammar. You know the grammar. Good. Do you know the meaning of that grammar you are speaking? You are saying your soul is like a bird. Is that not what you are saying? My soul is what? Like a bird. So the soul can fly. Okay, you are afraid now. Say this brother, he has come. I'm not a brother. I'm not a brother. I'm just telling you what the scripture is telling you. Amen. The soul can rise. Amen. The soul can rise above gossip, above deception, above offense. He didn't say he will take away offense, but God says you can rise. Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand. God, he didn't say, Lord, take them out of this world. He said, no, in the world, what do? You keep them. How then will you overcome? The soul must rise. How does the soul rise? I'll tell you. They, the souls. When he said they, he's speaking of the soul. Eh? They that do what? Wait upon the Lord. Will do what? Finish the sentence now. Finish the sentence. We renew their strength and do what? Mount up with what? The eagle speaks of the mind. You stay in God's presence. The man starts riding. When you leave this hall and go out to Ikojebele Road, the mind will fall again. Don't you understand? It will fall. Hallelujah. We don't know ourselves. Bible says, examine yourself. Amen. Examine yourself. If I sit down in front of television, I'm not talking about you people, I'm talking about me. I'm telling you what's happening to me. I want to watch football. I sit down in front of television. It is clear what will happen to me. I am watching football. After 1 hour, is that also? My mind is on the floor. Pornography has entered. Because they will show one girl with her leg like this while I'm watching Arsenal. The other one is going, they will flash something again. I came to watch Arsenal, but they are flashing things. You want to open your email? I want to check my email trouble. It's only me that is experiencing all these things. Sister, is it only me that is experiencing it? I want to check my email trouble. Check my email. The reason is that the church does not understand. But the devil knows exactly what he is doing. Amen. The Bible says, when I was a child, I speak like a child. I behave like a child. Amen. When I grow up, what do I do?
I put away charges.
Brethren, we are growing up. I cannot go and sit down and open my soul. And the devil walks in. That's what he says. So that the Assyrian entered in. The Egyptian entered in. The Bible says, he that has no control over his own what? Spirit. Spirit means soul. It's like what? A city. That's what? Broken down. No control. I don't know how to say it, but brethren, in this world where you are, this realm, this is where you are, there are two realms of life too. There are two highways in which the soul operates. The Bible says, Proverbs, that the highway of the upright is above to depart from sin. Is it not? He says there's also another way. Hell beneath. See, the soul moves between two realms, darkness and light. The devil doesn't understand English. The thing is, he's asking you, where do you dwell? At which level is your soul dwelling? If my soul comes into the realm of darkness, the Bible says in Proverbs 7, say, I beheld a young man going near the corner of the house of the strange woman. Is that in the Bible? What happened to the young man? He said the young man was void of understanding. The Bible says that the simple, that they do not see the evil. Huh? But the wise man sees the evil and hides himself. So the young man, he went near the corner of the house. I said the strong woman, caught him and brought him in. Don't you understand? Many of us, we live at the corner of the house of that strange woman. That's where we live. We love to go around those places. Take notice. There is a strong woman. It is the spirit of whoredoms. It is the spirit of harlotry. It is the spirit of the strange woman. It will catch the soul. Say, come. I have peace offering. Come, let us solace ourselves with loves until the brethren, the name of the game is passion. Passion is the dining table of the devil. No, say it well, not fashion. Passion. P-A-S-S-I-O-N. Passion. Passion is what the English people call the emotion and the desire together. It's called passion. You want to buy home, they will show you a naked woman. It's passion. Don't you understand? You want to buy rice, it is a naked girl that will sell it to you. Passion. Everything in this world now is what? Passion. And let me notify you. Why do you eat food? How many people ate food this morning? Did you eat food? Yeah, raise your hand now. You are fasting. Okay, in the night when you ate, why did you eat? Why do you eat? Why did you eat? Who is the one that ate the food? Who ate the food? The food you ate in the night, who ate the food? And why did you eat the food? It's your emotion that ate the food. Because when you bring that half and soup and turn it like this, there's trouble. It's because you feel good. Without emotion, eating food will be of no use. You eat the food and you do not feel anything. Would you eat again? You eat food because of the involvement of the emotions. You go to work because of the involvement of your emotions. You marry wife because of the involvement of your emotions. You say, whose God is their best? Don't you understand what's going on? The emotions rule. And the devil knows that. So if the devil wants to control you, he just needs to control the passions. He just needs to fire your emotions. And he has you. Amen. Hallelujah. And God says, I will put my law where? In the mind. God does not talk to you through your belly. He says, meat for the belly. The belly for meat. Amen. Both of them will be destroyed. God speaks to you through the mind. But the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded our mind. So how can God talk to you when the mind is blinded? Amen. How can God speak to us when the mind is blinded? So you have a mind, you have a soul, the mind is blinded. It has no connection with God. And as Brother Bot has been telling us, this mind doesn't know God. It has no relationship with God. Amen. He says in that day they will come and say, we work miracles. We heal the sick. We attended the conference. Say, go. I never. I didn't know you. Amen.
Amen.
Brethren, that is the key. You must know God. How can you know God when your eyes are blinded? The soul has eyes. The soul has what you call eyes are abilities that God has put in the soul so that it can see God, so that it can hear God, so that it can smell or discern God, so that it can partake of God, taste and desire more of God, so that it can be joined unto God. This soul also has abilities to see the things in the physical world, to hear things with the ear in the physical world. Amen. So what we find is that I have chosen. You have chosen the easy way out. If I can't reach God, if I cannot relate to God, Let me deal with what I can see. Huh? So, the soul of man has chosen the easy way out. So the Bible said that the first man is of the earth. The first man, the first Adam, is earth. It's carnal. He says, as far as I'm concerned, I only know the things I can see. Thomas says, it is what I see that I believe. Don't you understand? Amen.
Amen.
So the soul has been confined to the earthly realm. And the Bible says that the things which are seen are what? They are temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Are the real. But the Bible will tell us that God is more real than the chair you are talking about. God is more real than all the things you can see in your physical eyes. But the Bible says that the God of this world has what? Blinded the mind. But Paul said, we shall not all sleep. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't sleep, wake up. We shall not all sleep. But my said when you say we, speaking of the soul. But we shall what? Be changed. In the twinkling of the eye. Amen.
Amen.
Who is ready for change? You must go to God. Paul went to God and said, God, that you might give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In the knowledge of you. That the eyes of my understanding may what? Be open. Amen.
Amen.
How does man know God? With the mind. The mind is the east gate. The mind is the communication with God. And the Bible said there are seven spirits that come through the mind. You see the lampstand? The lampstand speaks of the illumination of the soul. This soul that enters this experience must be baptized. It must be consecrated. It must be sanctified. It must die to the world. Amen. It must give up its love for the world. And that's what Paul says, that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's no longer I that live it. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God. I want to notify you that there is a rising up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We shall not all sleep. Hallelujah. But we shall be changed. How are we changed? From glory to glory. Amen. He said, we all with our open face. Amen. Beholding the glory of the Lord. We are being lightened. You see, naturally, when you look at the sanctuary that contains the holy place and the most holy place, it's a dark place. It's covered. The outer court is open. The outer court is the place where the church
needs the light of the sun. The church needs the light of the moon. But in that realm, we do not need the light of the moon or of the sun. Amen. There is a light, brethren. There is a light inside this place. And it is the illumination of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says there are seven spirits. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, that's one. The Spirit of fear of the Lord. The Spirit of knowledge. The Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of might. Amen. So there are seven spirits. They begin to bring forth illumination to the soul. Amen. See, Mary and me are the same. Mary, before, in the time of Mary, it has never been heard that a woman was carrying the seed of God. Don't you understand? It was a stigma. They persecuted her. But there was a reality in Mary. And that is how we also have received a reality within our soul. A seed. And brethren, there is a light shining forth. Amen. And the Bible says that this woman shall be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Brother, what I'm saying is that we are in the place where we must begin to bring a new offering. We must bring a new offering. What is the offering? It is the offering of our soul. Amen. The days of throwing away our soul anyhow is over. What I do with my emotion is very important. What I do with my desire is very important. What I do with my mind is the worship. Everything that has to do with my soul is the real worship. And God cannot walk or write upon the table of my mind if I do not present it to him. So it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your soul as a living sacrifice. The Bible says, tells us how to make this presentation. When we are sitting in our homes, that means our entertainment must change. When you open that laptop, what you do on that laptop must change. What you do while you are walking on the road must change. What you do when you come together must change. He says, when you lie down, when you stand up, when you walk on the road, in everything you do, what do you do? He says, this book of the law shall not depart. Amen. Amen. Now, many of us, we are wondering why we are not overcoming. I don't have time. I have to call this message. But, you see, brethren, we say we don't have time. Yet, we are not doing anything about it. Huh? There is no magic. He says, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. The bride must make herself
ready. You have to do something about it. I have to do something about it. God is ready to help me, but I must take the first step. He said, draw close to God. What will He do? He will draw close to you. Amen. Something must change.
Amen.
In our lifestyle. What do we put before our eyes? What do you see? What do you think about? In your same moment, what do you think about? That sister, she did not look at me very well. I would show her that I'm from Metinam. Hey, it happens to me. You are holy brethren, it happens to me. I say it happens to me. So that brother did not greet me very well. Don't you know I'm professor? Look at my professor. You have to fight it. Amen. You must fight it. The mind can either fall or rise. Depending on what you give to it. Immediately you turn the mind to the word of God. It starts rising. Amen. Hallelujah. It's very easy. Immediately you remove the mind from God, starts falling. So what is the trick? I will always keep my mind on the Lord. Amen. David said, my face is set like the flint. Let me tell you about the cherubim just for 5 minutes. You see those cherubims? You cannot shake them. You cannot shake their gaze. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The cherubim speak of the Christ-like natures of the soul. There's no grammar. It is the Christ-like nature of the soul. What do you find in the cherubims? Lion. Lion. I saw a lion along the road there when I was coming. There's lion in New York. I saw one. Lion is not in heaven. It is in New York here. There is one living inside my soul. Don't you understand? It is called Mr. Emotion. Is there? There's lion here. The last lion can become the lion of the tribe. It can be changed. The Bible said the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Don't you understand? The eating habit of the lion can be changed. My ability to tear and fight and contend and destroy and backbite, and God can change that nature. Don't you understand? So God can change our natures. Hallelujah. How can you change it when I did not present it to God? Hallelujah. So you must have a focus. Somebody say, fellowship is not boys. There's no love in this fellowship. It's not. After 30 minutes, you sleep. What are they doing? Let's close. And we should be organized, disciplined. When we come, 1 hour, we'll finish and go home. Let's not waste time. Right? People who don't. 1 hour, we'll come to fellowship, and we'll finish and we'll go home. When you go home, it's rice. Pepper soup. What again? Belly. And the reason is because we do not have a hunger for God. Don't you understand? These cherubims, holy, 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 They are not tired. It is possible for you not to be tired of God. Hallelujah. When we come for fellowship, the strength of the fellowship is hunger. That is what we have lost. We have lost it. Okay, not you people. I have lost it. Pray for me. This night, say God, that brother, you said you should pray for him. Please give him hunger for God. Someone say, my heart and my flesh longeth for the living God.
Hallelujah.
After 1 hour, you are tired. As I'm talking now, oh my God, where is that fan soup? They didn't be bringing it close.
So that...
Amen.
Amen.
What you see is not you. Don't you understand? They told the man, they say, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. Jacob. They went and searched. They said, sorry, there's no Jacob here. He said, my name is Jacob. They look, Oga, don't be annoyed though. Well, we have this not there. False identity. Brethren, we are not a carnal people. Bible says our foundation is where? In the holy mountain. He said, all our springs are of you.
Amen.
I don't know if you understand. He said the first man is of the earth. The second man is the Lord from
heaven.
There is a difference between Jesus and Christ. There's a difference between Jesus and Christ. Jesus equalizes me and him. Don't you understand? Christ makes it different.
Christ is the number of whatever.
The spirit of Christ was in Jesus.
Spirit of Christ, they came back in Jesus.
And the same spirit of Christ that was in Jesus is the same spirit of Christ that is where? In me. What he did for Jesus, he can and is doing and shall do for me. Amen. That is the doctrine of Christ. That is the doctrine of Emmanuel. It means God in man. So if you think you are from Etina, you are not from Etina. You are a pilgrim through Etina. Hallelujah. So they said they were pilgrims on the earth. They knew where they were coming from and where they are going. Say, O Zion, awake, awake, awake. Shake thyself from the dust. I need to make a change in my eating habits. I tell myself, you cannot be different. I must be like Jesus. The same results that Jesus had, I can have. He said, greater works than this shall ye do. Don't you understand? Greater works. It is not a disrespect. It is a glory to God. Amen. God cannot be known until God is too big for only me. Don't you understand? He didn't take a robbery to be only him alone. Don't you understand? He is bringing many sons to glory. Brethren, we need to rise. We need to decide, I will go back to my father's house. God can touch us. And we can begin that journey out of Egypt. Egypt is a place of bondage of the mind. Don't you understand? The Pharaoh wears the covering on the head of Pharaoh is what? Is serpent. The serpent represents the nature of passions. It's passion. Hallelujah. And that is what is ruling the whole of Egypt. Passions. Sexuality. Entertainment. Passion. All the things that are heavy are all under Egypt. Amen. And anyone involved in it is involved in defilement. There's a river that flows in Egypt. It's called the River Nile. Whether you know it or not, there is a flood of defilement that comes in the midst of the world. But there's also a flow of life that comes from God. You must learn how to connect. Nobody can teach you. This one is not taught. You must learn how to make your connection. Amen. Say, there is a river that refreshes the people of God. There's a river that makes glad the city. There is no escape. It's either you can receive life from God or you receive life from the world. It's easier to get life from the world. Now you don't even need to search, you buy it free of charge on the internet. The Bible says if you live to the flesh, you will die. But there is a place where we can get life from God. Amen. And all we are doing in this conference is to encourage us, brethren. He said, come buy of me water free of charge. The water of life. Amen. The woman didn't tell lies. He said, Oga, I have been looking for this water. Five husbands. Still looking for water. That woman is the soul, is the mind, is the church. Hungry, going from one place to the other looking for life. If you like, watch all the films in the whole of Abba, come to us. Your soul will still hunger for life. Amen. If you build your house on the internet, at the end of the internet, what happens? Your soul is even more hungry for life. Amen. Why don't you arise? Like the prodigal son. Say, I will arise. I will go back to my father's house. Amen. In the father's house, there is a feast. Don't you understand? Every day is a feast. You can be walking on the road and your ears are in heaven. Don't you understand? Hallelujah. You are talking to someone and you are hearing from God. You are talking to someone, you are seeing visions of God, you are seeing into the heart of the person. They say it is 3D. They say it is 3D. Every dimension. Me, I have Christ's dimension. Hallelujah. You can hear. There is a place where you hear the voice of God. There is a place that they call cloud. Eh? You go there, you see all kinds of things in the cloud. They are trying to imitate us. Amen. There is a place where the voice of God is taught. Every day there is a broadcast going on. You can tune onto it and you begin to hear the voice of God. Amen. That is what is happening now, brethren. Now, you can walk in it. Or you can choose to say, no, don't mind these people. They have come here to deceive us. Jesus was with them on earth. Is it not so? And his father was talking to him. He was right there in front of them, but he was connected to the heavens. As he is. So are we. So should we be in this presence. I'm trying to advertise you that, brethren, there's a place of life. There's a place where you hear the trumpet of God. It's called the seventh trumpet. It is the trumpet for the change of the soul. It is the trumpet that is telling the bride, come home, come home. It is calling the bride to the marriage of the Lamb. Brethren, that's the only thing that interests me. Amen. Someone says, I have heard, oh my soul, the sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war. Amen. You can hear that sound. And you know, when you hear that sound, you need to consecrate yourself to it. Hallelujah. Brethren, that's where we are coming to. That's where we're coming to. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I'm going to close.
Yes,
but brethren, we need to go to God.
Hallelujah.
And we need to respond to God. You know, what God is telling us is not fable. There is a reality that has come to us. And I tell you, I count myself privileged to have heard this word. I thank God for the men who have brought this word. Don't you understand? It began with Payeton, is it not so? And then Brother says, and Brother Bud and all that. And I thank God for their lives. And I bless God for bringing me in contact with them. Amen. Hallelujah. And brethren, we need to commit ourselves afresh. Because this thing is about to get sweet. Don't you understand? The party is just starting. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you are planning to jump ship, come back. Amen. We need to prepare ourselves, brethren. The best is yet come. Hallelujah. The best is about to be served. It's called the new wine. Don't you understand? It's called new wine. Amen. And I'm prepared to give anything for it. That God will help me to give. You know, that song says, to give all, I will be a fool. What's that song that Sister Udua says? Lord, to give up, I will be what?
A fool.
Don't you understand? To give up now, I will be
fool.
Amen. This is the time to give all, 100%.
Amen.
God bless you, brethren. Amen. Amen.
If you do, write it and put it in the crystal box behind you. Answer the question. Let's go. Page 1.
The second one for the fire.
Abba, Father. bring about a change in me. Hallelujah. Can we all stand? Abba, Father, bring about a change in me. Sister Cephas, can you sing with us? Abba, Father, bring about a change in me. Savior, cleanse me from iniquity.
Father,